everyone. Welcome back to Popcorn Premieres Box Office Breakdown, again, joined by our co-host, Ethan Kaufman.
Hey, hi, and hello.
So, yeah, today we're going to be talking about Super Bowl trailers and the worst box office weekend, not counting, like, peak pandemic weekends, in decades.
Let's go!
I know, we love seeing movies
the
not making any money.
Cinema.
Oh my God. And then we're talking about next weekend with movies because we actually have kind of a big weekend coming up with film. So we are going to dive into that right now, starting off with Super Bowl trailers. Ethan.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on the Super Bowl trailers?
I really liked a lot of what I saw. I think, like, we've talked about this already, it's been a very dead year for movies, at least like the first month and a half. And I think there's a lot of promising releases, more on like the bigger budget blockbustery scale, that I'm really looking forward to. And I'm the kind of person who has a very tough time getting excited for movies until there is trailer footage. I think that's something I need just to be able to see it on the screen. And so there are several of these that have me really excited.
Me too. And I was the same way where, like, I would say Wicked and Twisters, and actually Quiet Place too. Those three in particular, I like didn't really know what to think. And then I saw the trailers and I was like, okay, I'm hyped. Especially Twisters and Wicked for me.
So much fun.
Yeah. I'm like, I cannot wait for Twisters.
I need more Glenn Powell in my
life. Me too. Just like,
and he's
can't
like
get
chewing
enough
up the scenery here.
Yeah. Like the trailer already, just like Glenn Powell. I don't even know.
He's just, he has that energy.
Yeah. Here. He's Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
You know, can just have him forever. That sounded so bad.
It's amazing. The whole cast here though looks really good, because like on top of him you have like Daisy Edgar Jones, which in something like this I feel might be really cool to see.
Yeah, and this is her first like blockbuster type of movie.
Yeah, you have Brandon Perea with some more evil sky stuff.
And then Anthony Ramos.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like Anthony Ramos.
Me too.
You know, I mean, I think he's going to be the star of the Hamilton movie that's in development too. Plus, he had In the Heights, he had Transformers, so movie star Anthony Ramos, possibly. I'm assuming this and Hamilton will kind of be big tellers as to whether or not that's a possibility. But yeah, so I guess we'll dive into each trailer a little bit more individually.
Yeah.
And we'll start kind of the elephant in the room in terms of trailers. Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
What were your thoughts?
So I feel like I'm an interesting person to talk about this trailer. Deadpool has been a huge blind spot for me. The first Deadpool is the most popular movie on Letterboxd that I still haven't seen.
Wow.
Logan is the only like X-Men movie that I've seen.
I haven't actually finished Logan, and that's kind of funny because
your name is Logan. That's like your one job.
I know.
No, but this I think was a really good trailer. I like how little of Wolverine is shown.
Me too.
I think like Disney, but Marvel especially, as of like the last few years, have had a really bad habit of just showing everything in the trailers because they are losing those butts and seats. And I like that there's some restraint here.
Yeah.
Matthew McFadden, big Succession fan here.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Loved seeing him. I'm excited to go back and watch the first two Deadpool movies before this, because this is a good trailer. And I think after Guardians 3 last year, another one of these where it's like just a big, fun, crowd-pleasing hit. That's good, I think, is what the MCU needs.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just like, I don't see how this movie, now that I've seen the trailer, can be bad. The trailer shows Disney isn't, like, they aren't screwing with Deadpool. They are letting Deadpool be Deadpool. That trailer was bloody. That trailer had a joke about pegging. I don't know if I can talk about that on the show, but they had the fourth wall break where he was like, I've dealt with this before, but I know Disney hasn't.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like so exciting, you know, that like they're not going to screw with it. And also, like, something where I've kind of been thinking about this ever since I knew he was directing it, but like Zach Levy, he's not like this big indie director that they're bringing in to direct like a superhero movie. He's done like primarily Ryan Reynolds studio driven type of films. And I think that that's the perfect thing for Marvel.
I think having a pairing like that is very important, where your director knows the star, vice versa. And
exactly.
Because it's easier to work together.
Yeah. And also just like the director is used to working with a big budget. You're not bringing in a director who did some indies for like $1 million and now you're handing them $200 million.
Right.
You know, like, sure, I bet that this was a budget jump for Levi, but definitely not nearly as much.
There are so many Marvel directors who it's just like, even if they are good directors and even if the filmmaking on display is good, you can tell they're just a little uncomfortable operating on that level. And I think this is someone who has shown between like, what, Adam Project, Free Guy, when he comes together with Ryan Reynolds on this scale, it might not be the greatest movie ever, but it works and they have it down. And I think applying that to something like a new Deadpool movie is going to be really fun to see.
Exactly. Wait, I just want to check and make sure I got his name right, because I said Zach Levy. I think that's his name.
I think it's Sean Levy.
Oh, is it Sean Levy?
I think it's Sean.
Oh, my God. He's
literally going to come in here now and
beat you up. He's going to. Well, yeah, because I mixed him up with Zachary Levi. It is Sean Levy.
Let's go.
Oh, you are right.
Let's go.
Correction, Sean Levy. Sorry about that.
Sean, if you're listening, we apologize to you.
Yes, we do. You are not Zachary Levi.
Shazam.
No. I mean, do you have any closing thoughts about Deadpool?
Not really.
Okay, so moving on. Twisters.
Twisters.
We talked about it a bit, but anything aside from cool Glenn Powell?
It's just, it looks like some nice, thrilling, campy fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I want out of a movie like this.
Me too. And I hope a lot of people go to see this. This just looks like such a good crowd-pleasing film. And even though it's not an original movie, because it's technically based off of like Twister from sometime, like I think in the 80s or 90s, it doesn't feel like a ripoff.
It doesn't.
At least, like, I haven't seen Twister before.
But,
like,
I haven't either.
It's not the type of film where, you know, we get a bunch of these all the time. I feel like, could be more of, like, a Top Gun Maverick situation.
Yeah. I think you're taking, I guess, like, a style of filmmaking that feels it's really a throwback to decades ago and bringing it now with Glenn Powell.
Yeah.
It's worked before.
Exactly. And doing it better. Like, you know, I have not seen Twister, but I would assume it's kind of a similar situation to Top Gun, where, like, it looked good for the time, but probably hasn't really aged that well and can be done much better today.
Yeah. I do want to go back and watch that original.
Me too.
Just to, like, know what it is before this comes out.
Yeah.
But I do think, based on what I do know about it, tonally, it looks to be delivering the same thing, but not just a complete repackaging of it, like a nice modern rehash that newer audiences will be able to go for.
Yeah. Also, though, what I think is interesting is that the director of this is the same guy who did Minari.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious if, like, that'll be a good thing or a bad thing, because before we were talking about Marvel movies where, like, you know, they bring in indie directors, and a lot of the times that doesn't work out well.
Yeah.
So now you're giving an indie director a big budget for, like, a studio film. Will that work out?
Perhaps.
Hopefully. Probably. We also have a similar situation to that with a movie I'll jump us to, A Quiet Place Day One.
Yes.
Yeah. So, because that's the same director as Nicolas Cage's Pig.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I think it's awesome, too. What are your thoughts on Quiet Place Day One?
I really like this trailer.
Me too.
Maybe a few years ago I was a little hesitant for this becoming like a whole franchise, because I think the original Quiet Place, it wasn't amazing, but it was really, really good for what it was, and it was really original. And so I didn't like that they were doing like, Quiet Place Part 2, Day One, and having all of these others. But I think the story, from what I can gather from the trailer, looks really interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, see how all of the, because the first two films, you're operating in this world where, like, everyone kind of knows the rules already. And here it's just this chaos of, like, how do we establish how to go about this whole alien invasion? It looks like a lot of fun. Cast also, Lupita Nyong'o is amazing in these sorts of roles. Like, Us, really underrated performance there. Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things. I'm excited for this.
Me too.
I think it looks really good.
I also think it looks really good. And I just, like, it's in New York, I think, right?
Yeah.
This movie is going to be wild just in terms of, like, the death
Yeah.
And destruction.
It's a totally different environment from what we're used to from this franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I'm just really excited for it. Yeah. I'm excited to see where they take this.
And I also, like, even though I, too, was also a little worried about this becoming a franchise, since it is a franchise and since we get these monsters, there's going to be a sense of dramatic irony throughout this film because we know how the monsters work.
Right.
So I just think that that's, like, you're taking advantage of the fact that you're a franchise here, because if it was like a one-off movie, you would somehow need to establish that dramatic irony beforehand. But since it's a franchise, we already know, and I think it's going to be cool to like see how other people figure it out.
Yes.
You know, because in the trailer, we do see that they did figure it out, and they figured out that they had to be quiet, but how long does that take?
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to our second to last movie we're going to talk about, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
You're hyped?
I am so hyped.
Me too.
That first trailer, I really liked. Mm-hmm. I really liked what they were doing there. Something about the new one, I think, makes me much more excited.
Me too.
That trilogy of Rise, Dawn, and War is... I really want to go back and rewatch those, especially War, because I've only seen it once.
I haven't seen Dawn and War.
They're really good.
Yeah.
They're both better than Rise, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. It's easily some of the best blockbuster filmmaking I think we've had in like a good decade plus.
Yeah. Matt Reeves.
Yeah. And with many other things, I was worried that like Disney kind of taking over and maybe putting their own spin on it was going to make it a little less original feeling.
Yeah.
From this new trailer, I don't think so. And it's interesting seeing them finally in this Planet of the Apes. Because those first three films, it's like the evolution of going from the human world to that.
Yeah.
And now we're here.
Yeah. And it seems like there's a huge time jump.
Yeah.
And also just like, I was worried because it's the director of the Maze Runner trilogy.
Yeah.
And like the Maze Runner trilogy wasn't really that good.
No.
But it seems like the director learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the kind of thing where it's like, rather than getting an indie filmmaker, you're getting somebody that knows how to make a movie on a big budget and with like a studio being like, you need to do this, this, and this. And I think he probably took what he learned from Maze Runner, took what he like did wrong, and is like making it right with this. Because that trailer, like the TV spot and the trailer, which I loved, I was telling you this before, they were different from each other.
Yeah.
They weren't like the same thing, which most TV spots and trailers do. And they were both great. I think I might have liked the TV spot better.
Really?
Actually. Just because it was terrifying. Where he was like, today's going to be a great day. And just over and over and over and over again. And like the more it got said, the more I was like scared of it. You know? And it completely like contextualized that phrase differently like than the previous trailer did. So I don't know. I'm hyped as well.
I'm really hyped.
Yeah.
Wicked. Anyways, talk Wicked.
Yes, let's talk Wicked.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I was going to ask you what your thoughts were.
You go first.
It looks beautiful. You know, I mean, the CGI from what we've seen looked good, and they still have until Thanksgiving to develop it. They are not rushing this movie, and I love that. You know, they are going to just try to make it the best movie they can, I hope. And they're also doing the part one, part two thing.
Right.
I'm really glad that they're doing that because I remember, like, Into the Woods, my biggest issue with Into the Woods was that it should have been a part one and a part two because it's too big of a story. So I'm glad that they're doing that with Wicked because, like, all these Broadway musicals, they're huge.
Yes.
It's really hard to just cram it all, like, from 3 hours into a 2.5 hour to 2 hour Hollywood movie that can't just be son and no dialogue
because
Hollywood just doesn't do that. So I don't know. I'm really excited. And I wish that they showed more of the music because I'm worried that they're going to do the trend that we've seen everything, that every new musical do where they don't really show that it's a musical. But also like, I think a lot of people know what Wicked is.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's not really the kind of thing where you can hide it.
Yeah. And so I maybe it might just be that the CGI isn't done for the musical scenes. And I hope when we get like an actual trailer, they'll show more music.
I think that's part of it is it is just like a 1 minute teaser.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much you could have done there with that besides like just showing off the world and whatnot.
Yeah. They had I don't know who's playing the witch, but I think they had her voice at the end, like her singing voice, and it sounded great, but I just want more of that for future trailers personally. But what about you?
I think it looks really good. I'm a little, again, a little worried just because advertising and marketing for musicals has been very iffy lately. Mm-hmm. I also think it is just a one-minute teaser. And yeah. So for me at least, especially judging something like this where it's like big, fantastical, I think lingering on these locations for a little longer than just really quick half-second shots is what's going to be the indicator of, like, does it look good, does it sound good, whatever. But just from that 1 minute, I do think it looks really good. I have seen Wicked the show twice.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I do really
it.
Like it.
Okay, good.
Casting was a big thing I was worried about, specifically Ariana Grande as Glinda, but I think she looks really good here.
Okay, I'm
glad. Cynthia Erivo looks really good. I think this is what I wanted out of a teaser. It's not giving me any more than a teaser, mm-hmm. but at this stage, nearly a year before it's coming out, I don't think we need any more right now. I think this is good to set the stage.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I guess before we move on, I'm just going to throw each movie back at you and ask you if you think it's going to be a hit or a miss. Or like
box office wise or quality wise?
Like box office wise... You can do both, like box office and quality. So, Deadpool and Wolverine.
I think this is going to be a hit in both regards.
I agree.
I think so.
Twisters.
I'm really hoping it does well. I think it'll be a modest hit.
Okay. So more like eh?
Yeah, and I would honestly say that in terms of quality, too. I think it'll be, like, fun, nothing more than that, but, like, a very good time at the movies.
Okay, so, like... 3-star or like 4-star? Good time. What are you thinking?
3.5-star for me.
3.5?
Generous. Yeah.
All right. That's fair. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, I think quality wise, is going to be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like even maybe better than I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see it being one of the biggest movies of the year, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm feeling too. Quiet Place Day One.
Quiet Place Day One, I think, is going to be a sleeper hit. I think it's one of those that's going to do, like, really, really well in its opening weekend and then mm-hmm. maybe kind of fade away pretty quickly.
Really?
I
feel like it could almost be, like, the reverse, where maybe it doesn't do as well opening weekend because people are sort of like, oh, another Quiet Place
another
movie.
One of these.
And then, like, it ends up being really good.
Hopefully it does well. I think it does look really good, and I think mm-hmm. I would probably say it'll be on par with the other two. I do think they're both like kind of around the same level for me, and mm-hmm. I do think, at least from what we've seen in the trailer, there's no reason to doubt that it would be up to that standard.
Yeah, I agree. My one thing with this too is that I don't know, or like we don't really know what other horror and thriller movies are gonna be coming out around this time. So I'm kind of thinking it could do really well just because there's not really any other
be
horror
an
and thriller
for it.
Yeah, options. Yeah. And then finally, Wicked.
Wicked. I genuinely don't know. I think...
Yeah.
Because it is still really far out, and I feel like we don't know exactly what the rest of the release calendar looks like around mm-hmm. there. So I would almost want to see what that competition is before I say it's going to be a big hit. I think it absolutely has potential.
Yeah.
I, of course, would like it to do well. And I do think it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I think it'll be really good.
That's kind of how I'm feeling too. My one question is this Wonka or Color Purple?
Yeah.
You know, and is Ariana Grande a big enough star to sort of be like almost the Timmy Chalamet of this movie? Because like you don't really have a movie star here.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
We'll see.
So let's jump to the box office.
Woohoo.
Yeah. This, not counting the pandemic, has been like the worst box office weekend in decades. It was terrible, horrible. So, Ethan, you have not really seen any of these movies.
I have been so bad at going to the movies lately.
And that is why I wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Because you haven't really been excited for these. And
you're
a movie fan.
I am a movie fan.
So, like, from your perspective, why have you just not felt the motivation to go and see like Argyle or like The Beekeeper? And, you know, like what in the future will bring you back to the movies?
I think the caliber of movies in theaters has just not been up there. And again, mm-hmm. it is those first 2 months of the year where generally that has been the case. But I think like compared to other years, where I'd be at home and, like, I would go drive to the theater or whatever. Here, accessibility is a bigger issue at college, and so it has to really be something that I want to go see if I'm going to, like, get a gang of friends together to go to Cinemopolis or even, like, the Regal.
Yeah.
And it hasn't – there just hasn't been anything that's really compelled me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So what is, like, coming up that would compel you? Are you compelled at all by Madame Web or Bob Marley?
I don't think so. I think they are too, like, if I was at home, I'd go see them if I had nothing to do over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm a busy bee and I don't have a car.
That's fair. How about Driveway Dolls?
That'll be at Cinemopolis. Yeah. It looks good. And I might go see Lisa Frankenstein this upcoming weekend.
That's good.
If there's time. I was very busy this weekend, so I didn't get a chance.
Yeah,
but
that's
I did
fair.
Want to.
Lisa was great.
I've heard.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And then I guess Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dune I will be seeing at least twice.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to see it once here, and then we go home a week after it comes out. And I'm going to see it in IMAX, personally.
I have plans to go see it a week before it officially releases.
Really?
I forget what theater it is, but like an hour away they're doing
it. Oh, are you
seeing
it with Lily?
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm really hyped.
I'm so excited.
So, yeah, I'm just waiting for when Cinemopolis like puts out the tickets, and I will be buying one like as soon as possible.
Me too.
But yeah, I mean, I hope Dune does well, just because like it'll be our first real blockbuster of the year, so we'll see. Anyways, jumping on to like what actually is out this weekend, Argylle. Really bad. I think it made just barely over $6 million on the doc. I wrote pitiful.
63% drop.
Yeah.
Wild.
So just really bad.
Yeah.
Lisa Frankenstein performed under projections, because I think projections were like 5 to 9 or like 7 to 9.
It's like on the higher end of the 7 digits.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, what did we say last week? It was like 8, 9.
Yeah, I think like
we,
and now instead it's like 2.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So really went under. And I think a lot of that is kind of because of Rotten Tomatoes, where it was like a negative on Rotten Tomatoes. But like some people are kind of calling it out for its cinema score and whatnot, being like a B cinema score. But this is kind of a horror movie, and it really pushes the boundary of being rated R.
Really?
Like it's rated PG-13, but it really pushes it.
Okay.
Like this is like one of those closest
to R
PG-13 movies I've seen. And it's hilarious. Okay. I really like it. But I know it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And then I guess finally, of like sort of the notable box office things this weekend. I mean, we could briefly mention The Beekeeper.
Oh, we have to mention The Beekeeper.
Held its place at 3.
What is crazy is my dad finally went to go see it.
Oh,
because of this podcast.
That's awesome.
He just heard us talking about it so enthusiastically. I haven't even seen it, but he felt he needed to.
Did he like it?
He had so much fun, it sounds like. He went with my brother. They seemed to have a great time.
I'm so happy for them.
We did it.
We did it.
We made some Beekeeper fans.
Yes, we did. They have joined the hive. Welcome to the hive. So actually, finally, is Anyone But You, which released like a special edition, didn't really seem to pick up any steam.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, again, this has been a really unremarkable weekend.
I was going to do my whole, it's a great weekend when migration's in the top 5, but it's not anymore.
Yeah.
It fell to 6.
Exactly. Which is, you know, migration, it's not in the top 5 anymore. So, of course, we have the worst.
Migrating out of that podium.
I love that. all right, so now I guess we'll talk about next weekend.
Yeah,
since we have quite a bit coming out, I did a lot on the doc, just like for comparisons and whatnot. So we'll start with Bob Marley, projected to make $16 to $21 million this weekend. Do you think it'll be higher or lower?
I don't think it'll be higher, just based on box office trends as of late.
Me too.
Yeah, I think probably the low end of that, like maybe I would put it at like maybe 14 to 18.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Just like maybe 15. I'm just like looking at previous musical biopics. You know, we had Whitney Houston with under 5 million opening for hers. But then Elvis had, you know, 31.
Yeah.
But I don't think Bob Marley is Elvis.
I don't think so.
You know, then you had an Aretha Franklin one, and that had almost 9 million opening. But I do think that Marley is bigger than Aretha Franklin. And also, yeah. I think this is being released at a better time. Like, I think that the Respect, that was what the Aretha Franklin one was called, released in 2021, either I think around Christmas time or in the summer. I can't remember. But just not a great release time where there was a lot of other options for people to see. And then you also have Rocket Man before COVID, almost 26 million. And then Bohemian Rhapsody, 2018, 51 million. Do you think that Bob Marley is like as big as like Elvis or, you know, Elton John or...
Queen? I think there are like a few songs here and there that everyone's familiar with.
Yeah.
Overall, as an artist, I wouldn't say so. But I will add, I almost think that the trailer has made it look like a very, very by-the-numbers formulaic music biopic.
Yeah.
And I almost think that helps it in a way.
Me too.
Because I think if this, like, as an artist who isn't on the level of, like, Queen, Elvis, whoever... There's a sense of familiarity that format provides that I think audiences are going to go see, and I think it's helped by that a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think there's a sense of curiosity.
Like, a little bit.
I was really curious. This week, I'm listening to a lot of Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of the music I'm listening to is Bob Marley to, like, kind of hype myself up and just, like...
Is every little thing going to be all right? Tell us, Logan.
You know, I'll let you know next week when I see the movie, and I'll let you know if every right. little thing in the film is all right.
All right.
I think I'm seeing it on Friday.
Friday.
I think that's my plan.
Okay.
That Friday, going to be seeing Madam Web.
Oh,
but before
boy.
We move on to Madam Web, I do just want to ask you, do you think that this Bob Marley biopic will be any good?
I think it'll be just fine.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting. I heard Kingsley Benadire's performance is, like, incredible.
He looks really good in the trailers.
Yeah.
I've heard good things.
And, like, if this is a weak year Oscar-wise, could be an Oscar contender.
I think... I don't know if he'll be top five at the end of the day, but I do think he'll be one that, like, people will try to push just because
mm-hmm.
you need to have so much momentum if you're coming out before even this year's Oscars.
Yeah. That's so. True. I mean, I think he has a good shot at a Golden Globe.
Totally.
Nomination.
Totally.
Yeah. I think Golden Globe, that's probably where this movie's going. But
yeah,
I mean, if it's that good and if people just keep backing it and pushing it, could go even further.
Totally.
So I guess we'll find out. Yeah. Anyways.
And fun fact about him, he was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Really?
Definitely. Definitely. Let's talk Madam Web.
Oh. Okay. Is that true?
That line in the trailer is the funniest thing in the Madam Web trailer.
Wait, what
line?
You have
no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I don't.
There's a line in the Madam Web trailer that has gotten memed to death, and it is when Dakota Johnson is talking about whatever his name is, the villain, and she's like, he was in the Amazon with my mom, and they were researching spiders right before she died.
Oh, I don't know that line.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
I haven't heard that line. That's why I was so confused.
Okay.
I was like, wait, what? Well, yeah, so...
You can watch the movies. I'll stay up to date on the memes.
There
together.
You go.
We'll bring our knowledge together.
Yes, we will. So, Madam Web projected
Madam Web.
$15 to $24 million. Higher or lower?
It is not making $24 million.
I don't think so either.
I think
it could make 20.
High teens, I think, is
where
I would put it.
I think maybe 20.
Yeah?
I think, you know, Sydney Sweeney, I think being in this is a big deal.
Absolutely.
After Anyone But You, like... She is a movie star,
yeah.
I think, and I think she can get a lot of butts in some seats. Also, people just like these Spider-Man movies.
They do.
You know, like Morbius.
Morbius. People love Morbius.
Opened with $39 million.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe.
Perhaps.
Madam Web has a chance to do pretty decent. I also put other comparisons down as a... Birds of Prey, which opened with $33 million, and then I also did The Woman King as just like a third comparison, which opened with $19.1 million. So, you know, I think it could maybe be on par with The Woman King.
Potentially.
Yeah. That was kind of my like little prediction. But Yeah, I don't know. It's really, I'm really curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if Bob Marley has a significantly better Rotten Tomatoes score, I think it'll do better.
Yeah.
But if Madam Web has like a 60, it'll do better. But if it has like a 30, then yeah, no.
Yeah. I think we're at the point with like all of the like Spider-Man spinoff movies that like mm-hmm. I'm very just confused on how stuff connects.
Yeah, me too.
And it's really muddled and it's made me, I guess, I wouldn't say less interested,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, I think there's a sort of clarity that the audience needs when they're going to see a movie at this point of like, if this is part of some cinematic universe, where does it fit in there? Yeah. Is it part of some cinematic universe? Is it a one-off? Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if Sony knows. I think that they're going to determine that based on how well the movie does.
Yeah.
This is a weekend that I think is just going to be really interesting.
Yeah. I'm curious to see which of these two lands on top.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to say, I do think they're going to hurt each other. I don't think it's going to be like a Barbenheimer thing where they boost the... I don't know.
I don't think that they're going to hurt or harm each other because I just feel like at this point, the movie audiences are just so different from each other.
Yeah.
Where like I don't see it, but
I don't know, because yeah. I do think they're with like it's not one to one, but I do think there's some overlap in terms of like people who would see Bob Marley, people who would see Madam Web.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's a strong enough double feature to where they're gonna go see both this weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
if anything, they might have better holds on the second weekend, just from people like. Going to see one weekend and one the other.
Especially because, like, nothing is really coming out the next weekend. Let me just double check. I know there's Drive Away Dolls, but Drive Away Dolls, like...
That's for us film students.
Yeah, that's for, like, big film people. And then you have a religious movie, Ordinary Angels, coming out, which is, like, a kid fell on ice and, like, survived because of Jesus type of movie.
Obviously. Like, breakthrough.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually screening a day early here. Like, on our campus.
Oh.
So I might go and see it. because apparently somebody who worked on it is an alumni.
Let's go Ithaca College.
Let's go.
We're just built different.
Yeah, Park Auditorium. Mm. It's gonna go crazy for Ordinary Angels.
Absolutely.
Anywho, I think that's kind of all we have. Oh, actually, I forgot to ask you. Madam yes. Web, do you think it'll be any good?
God, no.
Yeah.
I think it'll be silly, though. I think it has, like, I don't think it's going to be on the level of Morbius. It definitely hasn't been
mm-hmm.
pre-release. But I think it's the kind of thing that, like, if there are other lines like that one from the trailer in there, people on the internet will do what they do.
Yes.
Yeah.
They will. You know, maybe it'll be Morbin Time Part 2.
Oh, Lord.
I can't wait.
I also don't think, like... I don't think anyone's watching that trailer is like, this is going to be the greatest superhero movie ever.
No, it looks kind of like a fan-made superhero movie.
A little bit. Yeah. And, like, the trailer... Because you have movies with really good trailers that end up just being stinkers, but I think something where you can kind of tell going in it's not going to be amazing...
Yeah.
...might even help it box office-wise, because I think anyone who saw that trailer and was interested is going to go see it regardless of reviews.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
And, like... I don't know. It's new, kind of. Like,
it is.
Madam Web has different powers than what we've really seen from a superhero before. So, I don't know
who this woman is.
I don't either.
But maybe that'll pique the curiosity of
exactly
the general movie-going public.
You know, people didn't know who Iron Man was before Iron Man.
They didn't.
So maybe Madam Web is the new Iron Man.
Yeah. I didn't know who Argyle was, but that didn't change anything.
Yeah. Did I tell you who Argyle was?
You did spoil that for me after my request to have you do so.
Yes. I couldn't remember.
I just don't care.
That is fair. Well, Ethan, thank you again for joining.
And thank you for having me again.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's not even a choice anymore.
It's really not. Yeah. Like, what happens if I refuse? You're going to come to Bogart and, like, drag me down here to the studio?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That's going to be what happens. I will track you.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah. I have an air tag in your glasses.
Aw, oh, dang it. I know. I knew that's what that was.
Yeah. So that's how we do it.
Dang.
All right. Well, yeah. We will see you, everybody, or not see, because
we can't see you.
Yeah. We can't.
You might not exist.
Yeah. There might be nobody listening to us right now.
There might not be.
Except your dad.
Except my dad. So true. Love you, Pops.
All right. Everyone will hear us in a week.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Also before. Oh, yes. Never mind. Before we go, I got a shameless plug. Ithacan's got a new show. It's called Pop Off. And guess who's hosting it?
Your dad?
No, it's me, actually.
Whoa.
Oh, snap.
That is an oh, snap moment.
Tune in to Pop Off, where we talk all things pop and off.
And off.
I don't know what that
means. Do you want to describe Pop Off a little
more? Pop Off is a really cool show that I just started, where I bring on a guest each week, and we make a ranked list of something, movies, music, or TV. Awesome. And then each episode is us kind of talking through the ranked list, disagreeing, perhaps agreeing, just having opinions on stuff.
Love to have opinions on stuff.
Our first episode is ranking the 2024 Best Picture nominees, which should be out by the time this is out.
Whoa. That's wild.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Ethan, you're popping off.
I'm popping off right now.
All right. That's it for this week. Take care.
Take care.